This is an obituary. It's a sad passing. The death of common sense. It reads, "Today we mourn the passing of an old friend. His name was Common Sense. Common Sense lived a long life, but died in the United States from heart failure on the brink of the new millennium. No one really knows how old he was, since his birth records were long ago lost in bureaucratic red tape. He selflessly devoted his life to service in schools, hospitals, homes, factories, helping folks get jobs done without fanfare or foolishness for decades. Petty rules, silly laws, frivolous lawsuits had no power over common sense. He was credited with cultivating such valued lessons as knowing when to come in out of the rain, why the early bird gets the worm, and life isn't always fair. Common Sense lived by simple, sound financial policies. Don't spend more than you earn. Reliable parenting strategies. The adults are in charge, not the kids. And it is okay to come in second. Common Sense was a veteran of the Industrial Revolution, the Great Depression, and the Technological Revolution. Common Sense survived cultural and educational trends, including body piercing, whole language, and the new math. But his health declined when he became infected with the "if it only helps one person, it's worth it" virus. In recent decades, his waning strength proved no match for the ravages of well-intentioned but overbearing regulations. He watched in pain as good people became ruled by self-seeking lawyers. His health rapidly deteriorated when schools endlessly implemented zero-tolerance policies. Reports of a 6-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate. A teen suspended for taking a swig of mouthwash after lunch. And a teacher fired for reprimanding an unruly student only worsened his condition. It declined even further when schools had to get parental consent to administer aspirin to a student, but could not inform the parent when a female was pregnant or wanted an abortion. Finally, Common Sense lost his will to live as the Ten Commandments became contraband. Churches became businesses. Criminals received better treatment than victims. And federal judges stuck their noses into everything from the Boy Scouts to professional sports. Finally, when a woman, not realizing that a steaming cup of coffee was hot, was awarded a huge settlement, Common Sense threw in the towel. As the end neared, Common Sense drifted in and out of logic, but was kept informed of developments regarding questionable regulations, such as those for low-flow toilets, rocking chairs, and stepladders. Common Sense was preceded in death by his parents, Truth and Trust, his wife, Discretion, his daughter, Responsibility, and his son, Reason. He is survived by two stepbrothers. My Rights and I'm a Whiner. Not many attended his funeral because so few realized he was gone. Speaking of this, let me give you this. This goes into the file of the inconsistency of us humans. Most parents in a recent survey, 71%, all right, that counts as most, all right? Most would be 50.00001 would be most, but most parents in this case, 71% say that they have been shocked or offended by something they saw on TV during the past year. A majority, 65%, that is a majority for those of you math challenged, say the shows that air on the major networks between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. are inappropriate for children. Two-thirds. Only 19%. You realize what a low number that is in polls? Anytime you get down around 19%, you're down to almost virtually zero where polls are concerned. Only 19% said primetime fare is fine for the whole family. I suppose if you don't care how you raise your family, you'd say that. Another 15% said that they didn't know enough to say. So how's that inconsistent, Dr. Ray? Well, here's the other part of the poll. Over half of America's children have a television of their own in their bedroom. 58% of 13 to 17-year-old kids have a TV in their room. Those of you who are listening should feel guilty. 50% of 10 to 12-year-olds, 4th to 6th graders, have TVs in their rooms. And 40% of 5 to 9-year-olds. So there you have it. Great majority say, I'm shocked, I'm offended, I'm hurt, I'm repulsed, I'm revulsed by what's on TV. Oh, and by the way, we got to call the cable repairman because the cable went out in the children's TV in their bedroom. We got to get a new remote because the remote doesn't work and they have to get up out of bed and change the channel. There are times in the broadcast world when a sniff, just a la Barney of Mayberry, kind of says it all. What can you say? If you are shocked or repulsed or offended by something you saw on TV in the past year, that is a piece of data. That piece of data says, reconsider letting your children watch TV when you don't know what they're watching. Strongly reconsider letting your children see any TV if you don't know exactly what's going to come up on it. That just makes sense. That's kind of logical, isn't it? Seems to be. Those of you whose children have TVs in their bedrooms, you got two options, my opinion, to not only help you with your parenting, but to help you raise a better kid. One, no, you got three options. One, get rid of the kid. It's not an option most people would take. I don't know, I haven't seen the surveys on it, but I think it's 98% would choose to keep the kid. Two, get rid of the bedroom, all right? Your kid sleeps in the bathroom. Three, get rid of the TV. For what purpose is it in that room? What possible good could come of it?